Welcome to the MMA Happy Hour. I am Kyle Anthony, your host. We're here each week. We have interviews, MMA banter, and betting advice. This week, UFC Vegas 75, Jared Cannonier versus Marvin Vettori. We're going to talk three plays like we always do. Of course, the main event we will be breaking down. But listen, we're coming off another profitable evening at the office last weekend for UFC 289. Great showing overall. Over 5 units in profit last weekend. Good showing. Didn't get the top play. The top play of the night was Nassourdine Imavov to defeat Chris Curtis. Now, Chris Curtis ended up, you know, Imavov was on his way to winning. I don't care what anybody says. He was on his way to victory. He was doing all the right things out there. And then the headbutt happened. You know, Curtis ended up kind of squeaking away, not getting the finish there for Imavov, which I don't know if you guys follow me on Twitter, at KyleAnthonyUFC. And I bet Imavov, and somehow Chris Curtis blocks me because I bet Imavov. Funny stuff. You want to check it out, you can check it out. But apparently he does this to a lot of people. But if you want to become a client, link down in the description. Over the last month, over 20 units in profit overall. Over the last 3 years, over 100 units in profit. So we're doing all the right things here. We're getting it done. But we're going to dive into the main event of the evening. And that's going to be between Marvin Vettori and Jared Cannonier. Now, I'm going to dive right into this one and get right down to it. We're Marvin Vettori minus 120 on the comeback here. Jared Cannonier minus 106. Now, kind of when you're looking at this fight, I kind of think the biggest thing here for both these guys. Now, the first thing here, I believe, is going to be, hold on, is my camera messed up there? Is going to be really the pace, the cardio, and the pressure of Vettori. He's very good with that. He can utilize that, weaponize that, push forward, make it very difficult for his opponents overall. But when you're looking even on the other side here of Cannonier, Cannonier is a tough guy, big, strong guy for the division, does have some power. But it's really all going to come down to the cardio and the pressure of Vettori. That's really where this is going to be make or break for him. He's been able to do that over a lot of his fights. He's been able to go out there, really, you know, hustle, smother, keep them in the corner, keep pushing, and just outpace them. And that really starts to drain cardio. He finds opportunities to, you know, start to land some good shots, positionally winning, which is something that he does very well, where he's able to kind of just not make it look pretty, but he can go there and smother you up against the fence. The other part here that Vettori does have is a granite chin. The guy can take a brick to the face, keep walking forward. He has that ability to do that. And that's something that we even saw against Robert Whittaker not long ago, where, you know, I did pick Whittaker via decision in that spot, particularly on the fact that Vettori can take the big shots. He was getting slapped around from beginning to end of that fight. The entire fight he was getting beaten up on. Bobby Knuckles couldn't put him away. Vettori gets through that. He does get the victory over Vettori. But that fight to me just shows, again, it's very hard to knock him out. And that's what he's been able to use. He can even weaponize his durability. He can weaponize that cardio. But the one thing here is that I think a lot of people talk about in this fight, yes, it's a 5-round fight. But when you're looking at Vettori, people really do talk about this cardio, this cardio, this cardio, which is there. But if you're also looking on the other side here, Jared Cannonier is no slouch when it comes to these 5-rounders. I mean, if people do forget, 3 out of his last 4 fights were 5-round fights, and they went the entire distance also. So this is a guy that is very versed in this 5-round game now, where in the beginning, hey, maybe he's not prepared. You know, he's a bigger guy. Maybe he can't get there. But you look at the last 3 fights that he had, 5 rounds. I mean, he ended up beating Kelvin Gastelum. He ended up beating Sean Strickland, which Sean Strickland, high volume guy, high pressure guy, high cardio guy, just everything that really works out well for Sean Strickland when it comes to just being able to work over a 5-round period. He is very good at that. And he went out there and beat Sean Strickland. So it's a very impressive win for him. I do give him that part of it. And then the only loss that he had in the 5 rounds was against Israel Adesanya. Can't blame him for that. That was just a rangy kickboxing match where it's going to be hard to beat Adesanya if that's pretty much your only path when you're looking to do that. So again, Jared Cannonier has been around these 5 rounds for a while, and I think that also gives him a little bit extra in this fight. We were talking about being prepared, being ready for these types of fights. But, you know, Marvin Vettori is going to look to be in the clinch. He's going to look to be in the clinch. He's going to look to smother. He's going to look to put you up against the fence. And I think that Jared Cannonier's strength in the clinch, his elbows, he's able to kind of find, create space when he doesn't like what's kind of going on, and the strength advantage that he has. I think these are some things that are going to make it very difficult for Vettori to kind of implement the game plan that he does like, which is, again, smothering, keeping up against the fence. Because if you look at the striking, and just pure on striking in this fight, Jared Cannonier completely has him, covered in all angles when you're looking at it. I think that he's got more versatile striking. He mixes up his combinations well. He mixes up the targets well. He doesn't just kind of go for the head or headhunt. Vettori's kind of known for that a little bit, I feel like, always going for the headhunting. But, you know, Cannonier mixes it up. He's working the body, working the head. And also, these powered leg kicks, I think, are going to be there all night long for Jared Cannonier when you're looking at this fight, because, you know, Vettori's slow, plodding. He doesn't have much movement. He's overall just a slower kind of guy. And I don't really see where he finds success, where he's standing, because the slow combinations, I don't want to knock Vettori on his striking, but it's been the same since about 2018 when he fought Israel Adesanya. If you go back to that fight, I mean, it was pretty much the same kind of style. It was the same kind of situation. These 1-2 strikes, pushing up against the fence, 1-2 strikes, pushing up against the fence. For me, nothing's changed for him. He's not evolving. He's not getting better. It's still the same Marvin Vettori. It's still the same simplistic striking. His stand-up game, I don't really think is there, where I think overall, Jared Cannonier is going to have a lot of advantages when you're talking about this fight possibly just staying standing for five rounds. So I do like Jared in that spot. But even if you look at Vettori's last two fights, where I really like what I'm seeing from Cannonier and his last few fights, but Vettori, I'm not liking it at all. Again, he did lose to Robert Whittaker, high level guy. I do get that, but he looked baffled. He looked completely confused in that fight, where just I didn't really see much from him. And he even said it after the fight. Vettori said he was confused, said he couldn't get into rhythm. There were a couple different things there, and I think that really just says a lot of kind of what's going on with him. And then he ended up beating Roman Dolidze, which, it's a nice win getting Roman Dolidze, but it was a sloppy fight. It was ugly, and I wasn't that overly impressed, because anybody who has a little bit more striking, I think, possibly can go out there and beat Vettori, but he ends up beating Roman Dolidze. But overall, I don't think that Marvin Vettori can implement his game plan. I don't think he's going to implement the grappling, leaning up against the fence. I think the more damaging shots are absolutely going to be coming from Jared Cannonier, and now we're seeing the judging really, really kind of picking up on not just the shots landed, but the damage that is being implemented from that fighter. That's what they're kind of judging on. So I think this is a range kind of fight. I got to go to Jared Cannonier here. I think he's got the ability to get the job done. Not sure if he's gonna get the finish, because Vettori, again, is tough. I don't have that line in front of me right now, Cannonier via decision, but I do like this at even money. I like Jared Cannonier to get the job done in the main event. Now, the other fight we're going to be talking about here is going to be Muslim Salikov -196 against Nicholas Dalby. Now, this one here, I'm definitely seeing on Twitter, a lot of people have very passionate takes over each side of this here. You've got Muslim, again, -196. The comeback there is +152. Now, when you're looking at here, Muslim, you know, he's the kind of guy, well-rounded, good striking, you know, really, really impressive spinning attacks, kickboxing. He does have that ability out there, and he's well-rounded. He can bring the fight to the ground, and there's a lot of good things that he can do. And you got Nicholas Dalby. He's more of a striker, but he has that forward pressure. He has that volume, and he also has the ability to go out there and grind out. And that could be a path for him in a fight that's taking place in the Apex cage, and the style at which he fights could set him up pretty nicely here. But Muslim, on the other side of it, I mean, way better striking, way more versatile striking. You know, his kickboxing is top level. He's able to go out there and do some very creative striking. You know, he can be explosive in certain spots. There is absolutely that when you're looking at it. But the way that I think Dalby fights can help him. And I think that, you know, anytime you're fighting a kickboxer or a heavy kicking arsenal, these fighters are trying to push forward. They're trying to smother the kicker, shorten the distance, so they can't really get those kicks off. Also, it's just flat out harder to throw a kick from your back foot when you're backpedaling on, you know, from your back foot. So it's very difficult. And that's kind of how a lot of these guys are looking to push forward on these kickboxers types of things. And now Dalvey doesn't really have to change the style at which he fights because that's how he fights. He goes out there, he wants to push forward, he's going to keep coming forward, he's going to throw the volume. And that to me could mix up very well, where the mix between volume and forward pressure really could make Muslim's kickboxing game start to slow down a little bit, start to have issues, start to not be able to kind of throw all the strikes that he wants to throw out there, or these combinations that he wants to throw out there. And also the fact that, you know, Muslim's cardio can be suspect as well too. You know, he definitely doesn't have the best cardio, but also a lot of his movements really force to use a lot of cardio where you're looking at it, because a lot of times he's throwing these big kicks, these big shots. He's throwing them with 100% power. And if he lands, fight could be over. He could be, you know, could be a game-changing situation. But overall, if he doesn't, it's just using your cardio. It's just draining certain parts. And I think that also could cause issues here for Muslim, who maybe in that first round looks good, but Dalby's going to keep pushing, going to keep going overall. And that's the situation with Dalby, is that he's not going to stop. He's going to keep pushing. He has shown to have good cardio. He has shown to have, you know, decent game in the clinch. And now again, with these takedowns, I think, you know, both of these guys have that ability. There's no doubt, but I like the way that Dalby pushes you up against the fence, can cage push you there, keep you there. You've got a guy in Muslim who is going to be looking absolutely for space. He's going to want to be more technical. He's going to want to work at range. He's going to be able to work his striking and be at that distance spot. Now, again, being in the smaller cage, I think, does help Dalby where he wants to cut that distance. And all of a sudden, you're going to see Muslim with his back up against the fence. And that's going to be very difficult for him to create opportunity if Dalby is just consistently on him. I don't expect it to be, you know, this striking onslaught by Dalby. But I think, again, positionally chipping away, slowing down, draining that cardio of Muslim could help him in that second round and in that third round. Because, you know, also, you know, there's no doubt that Muslim has the ability to throw these big kicks, these big shots, and possibly have an opportunity to get a finish. But Dalby is extraordinarily durable. Something that I was surprised at when I was looking back and researching is that he's never been finished in his MMA career. Guy has had a ton of fights, never been finished. That's impressive to me. And that to me also allows Dalby to kind of cut this distance and utilize his chin. That's going to help him very much, where he can, you know, hey, these big shots may come back, but Muslim needs to have these big moments. He needs to have these big moments, these, you know, rock Dalby or something to get a, you know, to kind of get the opportunity to win that round, because Dalby's going to have, I think, the advantages when it comes to the volume, when it comes to the pace. And if you look at, statistically speaking, if you look at their output, they're not even close. I mean, you've got Dalby who doubles the significant strike output of Salikov, and that's a pretty wide, you know, there's a sample size that's pretty wide, but you're looking at that. And that to me says a lot also, that if Muslim can't get, you know, have a big moment or find opportunity to get a takedown and control, Dalby should just outpace him and kind of lean on him for, I think, three rounds. And I think that opens up opportunity for him. Add in the fact also that Dalby's going to have a 4-inch reach advantage. I think that also helps him as well too, working at distance, working in space, and then when he needs to cut that distance. I think the style at which Dalby fights, this taking place in the Apex cage, really helps him overall. And I think it's an opportunity to go out and get the victory. And we've seen the money has come in on Dalby. He was even a bigger favorite. It's come in. I agree with that line movement here. So I like Nicholas Dalby here, even at the current line of +152. I think there's value here. I don't like, you know, 2-to-1 favorite on Muslim, who's getting up there in age. Both these guys are, but getting up there in age. I just really do think you got to take the plus money here. Dalby with his path to victory. So I like Nicholas Dalby to get the job done, +152. Now, the last one we're going to talk about here is Hani Barcelos versus Miles Johns. You got Barcelos -245. The comeback here on Johns is +186. So I'm going to give this one real quick breakdown on my last one here. This is a situation where I feel like Barcelos is going to be the darling for parlays. He's going to be the parlay piece for everybody. Everyone's going to want to throw him in there. They're going to feel so warm and fuzzy and comfortable when they're throwing him in there. They think it's a big gap here. Now, I do believe that Barcelos should be the favorite. I do believe that. But I think this line is pretty wide for a guy that has had some iffy situations and fights kind of coming up. And, you know, when you're looking at Barcelos, you know, listen, he's technical. There's no doubt about it. He's going to be the more technical striker. He's well-rounded. He has more weapons at his disposal compared to John's. John's solid jab. You know, we'll throw the big overhand hook to try to land that shot. He, you know, good wrestling. He does have those abilities, and you're looking at it. Then you start to look at, hey, strength of schedule. Definitely Barcelos has fought the tougher guys. You know, Miles Johns, 3-1 over his last four, two nice knockouts. Not the highest level guys. I do get that. But, you know, he's showing that he has some victories, getting some finishes. Barcelos on the other side here, I mean, there's a difference here in just trajectory, I feel like, at this point here. You've got Barcelos, who's now 36. He is just was brutally, brutally knocked out by Umar Nurmagomedov. And adding into that is the fact that that was 5 months ago. This is not a fight that happened a year ago, and he's, you know, he's well recovered from it. To me, that's way too quick. I like to have these guys much further out, getting over these knockouts. Plus, you're looking at this big favorite number here, minus 245, big favorite number here. So you got the mix of 36, got knocked out in his last fight brutally, coming back on a quick turnaround, 5 month turnaround time. To me, I hate seeing that, especially again on a favorite. And then you add in the fact that he's 1-3 out of his last four and was knocked out in one. Victor Henry absolutely dominated him, won every single round where he was a big underdog, Victor Henry, and he went out there and got the victory over him. So there's a lot of situational things kind of going there that makes me really completely back away from Barcelos. Also, it's just his chin's a liability. We've seen him rocked, wobbled, hit, all these things. And Miles Johns can crack. He definitely has, you know, ability. He definitely has some power. I think there's opportunity for him to land. He's going to look for some takedowns. Now, he's not a guy that has really been very successful with takedowns, but just implementing and adding some wrestling in. Barcelos, very high level when it comes to the ground. So I think he'll try to mix it up a little bit. But I think that that chin is the liability for Barcelos at this big plus number here. This, to me, is a complete dogger pass spot. I don't see Barcelos having it. Even if he goes there and wins, I think this is a terrible line. I think this is not a good spot to be looping parlays in at all. I think Miles Johns is live at plus 186. So in this spot here, I think the value is on Miles Johns. So I'm going Miles Johns plus 186 to get the job done. So there you have it for our free plays for UFC Vegas 75. If you want to become a client, link down in the description. Have all the stuff there. Got some discounts here for this week coming up, and we have a lot of UFC coming up. I am excited about it. We're going to have some more guests on the show. We got some pay-per-views coming up, trying to line them up for the pay-per-views. But let's keep this going, man. Over 20 units over the last month. Let's just keep getting that money. So, this is another show in the books, and we will see you next week, and let's cash.